Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray and ask the Lord for help. O Lord God, again we come into your presence and we seek your help to stand and to speak. And we seek the help of the Holy Spirit to sustain us and to keep us through the course of this time. Be with us now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Dozens of sermons were preached from this text. Not much I can add to it. Many commentaries are written about this passage. But it doesn't mean that we have exhausted the passage. The Bible is an inexhaustible book. You can go to it 100 times and preach 100 different sermons. It can be applied in every circumstance in life. And that's why we cannot outlive or exhaust the Bible. It would outlive us. We have to return to the Bible every time to check our lives in the light of our personal walk with the Lord Jesus. Whether young, whether old, we have to stay with the Word of God. God has designed the Bible that way. There is no other document that is like that. You outlive a book. You understand? You read it through. You don't need to read it again. Our hearts often deceive us. My heart often deceives me. Circumstances may change in our lives and has changed. But one thing is certain, and that is the Word of God is from generation to generation. It does not change, and that's what the Bible says too. I don't know how people would try to belittle the Bible. There's some fundamentals in studying the Bible. You and I have heard many times that any sentence that begins with the word wherefore, or therefore, or so then, anytime you read this at the beginning of a chapter or a verse, it means that some things were said before on a subject or a person. So whenever you read therefore, you better look back and see what was therefore. It helps you a lot. The subject before was the Christian faith. Especially chapter 11. As a matter of fact, you have to go all the way back to chapter 10, I think, that says we are not of those that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You have to go back all the way back there. But Christians are saved by faith. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. And we talked about this inheritance this morning. This is what is in view. Christians are saved by faith. Hebrews 11 also showed that Christians were strengthened in the faith. Take for instance Sarah, where we are told through faith, also Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The previous chapter also showed how Christians suffered because of their faith. It's the part that we don't like. Take for instance Hebrews 11:24-25, where we are told that Moses chose to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, because he had respect for the recompense of reward, the inheritance again, the promised inheritance that he never saw. As a matter of fact, he didn't even go into the land of Canaan because of his disobedience. God restricted him from going. But it was a picture also, because the law can never conquer the promised land, and Moses represented the law, and Joshua was the one that led them in. But Moses suffered affliction. He also suffered the reproach for Christ. It shows that he anticipated the coming Savior. The Bible says that he saw the reproach of Christ, far greater riches than the pleasures of sin. Christ was his focus. Who said that Moses wasn't looking to Christ? But the people couldn't understand him when he preached Christ, because their eyes were not on Christ. The previous chapter ends by showing how Christians will be perfected in the faith. Hebrews 11:39-40. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, the inheritance that I was speaking about this morning. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, Old Testament and New Testament saints are brought together, and this dispensationalist view is wrong. God has one kingdom, and we preach that, and I preach that, and I stand on that. Not two groups of people, one. And there's a clear proof of this. All will be perfected in the faith when Christ comes again. Together, those who are scattered, those who are buried, those who are burnt, gather them together as one. These are some wonderful things to consider in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Having showed these examples, the writer begins in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, as he forms a conclusion with an application in showing the model example of faith. Therefore, because of what meant before, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice the writer calls the witnesses a cloud, because a cloud has no substance. It is Christ who has the substance. The cloud of witnesses point us to the substance. This is an imperative command to those who are given faith, or the faith of Christ. There are two things that will stifle faith: weights and sin. And verse 2, D, gives our example, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now the word "our faith" is italicized, and rightly so, because we don't have faith. Faith is not man's gift to God. Faith is God's gift to man. You always hear people say, "I'm going to get through because of my faith." That is rubbish. I'm going to get through because of the Lord's faith and His faithfulness. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here we are told without question that saving faith, what it is. We're shown what saving faith is that was being discussed in Hebrews 11. Saving faith has an author, one who began faith. Saving faith has a finisher, one that will complete our faith. He that have began a good work in you would perform it until the day of Christ. You see, everything in the gospel of grace is about Christ and grace. Haven't you become tired of these ministers that always teach and preach what men can do? It makes me sick, because John says, without me, you can do nothing. Some of them make me sick, really. You get weary of hearing about this man works theology. If you or someone else is the one who started faith, you will have to complete faith. A lot of people start their own faith and they can't last. If another person has started your faith, or we are fearful because of a certain person, and this is possible, we would not finish. We cannot finish. When that person is out and gone, our faith will go also. That is not in any way saving faith. You have, each one of us must check ourselves and see if God has granted us that saving faith. As we consider some thoughts this evening, I will look at the cloud of witnesses to help. The outline is very simple. It's taken from in the passage. You don't have to force it to say anything. The cloud of witnesses to help. And Brother Colin is witnesses, not witness. Two, the weights around that hinder us. And three, the hope the Savior has provided. The cloud of witnesses to help. And Hebrews 11 before showed Abel and how he submitted to the way of worship. He was instructed in what was acceptable to God. You remember Hebrews 11 verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The word "yet speaketh" simply means that he is still speaking. Christ is referred here with Abel as a more excellent sacrifice. He is the more excellent sacrifice. The Corinthians were clamoring after gifts of the Spirit and neglecting the most important gift. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:30-31, have all the gifts of healing? Rhetorical questions. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. This was before chapter 13, which showed us the excellent way, which, by the way, is Christ. 1 Corinthians 13 is not about me and you and our love, but it is Christ. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, it is showing you what you are not, and it's showing you who Christ is. All the things that it says, love doesn't this, love doesn't that, love doesn't that, that's you and me. But then when it begins to say, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't brag, love doesn't rejoice in evil, but rejoice in good, that's Christ. So don't ever read 1 Corinthians 13 and say, nah, this is what I got to be, that is what you cannot be. And now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Don't misread the Bible, because you will have a wrong conclusion and you will think wrong about yourself. 1 Corinthians 13, the excellent way. Paul says, now let me show you a more excellent way. And he shows Christ. And we are very far off from him. Another cloud of witness is Sarah. I said she was strengthened in her weakness. She is a part of the cloud of witnesses to us. Paul said, as I said before, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. We may not be strengthened to carry a suitcase of luggage, but we can be strengthened in doing the will of God. We can be strengthened to be alert during worship. We can be strengthened to do our duty. I said to the men last night, there's ministry in this church. They're shutting people. There are people that are in nursing homes and hospitals. If you want to go, you can go, just like how we went. Masks and everything. Test you at the door for COVID before you enter. You can go. The problem is that too many of us are into ourselves. The Lord can strengthen his people to do those things. Not to carry a 100-pound suitcase. We can be strengthened and stop making excuses. Strengthened to do the Christian duty. We can be strengthened to endure the proclamation of God's word and stop coming here nodding. It is really dishonoring to God to be nodding under the preaching of God's word. And you have an example in the book of Acts chapter 20 where a man fell from the loft down dead. It was a picture to show that though he was listening, he was spiritually dead and had to be raised to life. You can be strengthened. The third person, as I mentioned, that is part of the cloud of witnesses is Moses, who was given grace in suffering. He chose to suffer with the people of God. He saw them as his people and not the Egyptians. If you have a choice of fellowship on the Lord's day, between the Lord's people and the world's people, which would you choose? Moses chose the people of God, and sometimes you choose the world. My aunt is with me today, so I can't come. And this book is practical. Moses chose God's people. All that will live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Paul said to the brethren at Philippi, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake." Strength. Cloud of witnesses. When it comes to a little hardship to endure, when it comes to a measure of inconvenience, it is where the faith of many in our church appears to be invisible. Little hardship, just a little hardship. See how weak we are. But that's when faith is perfected in our weakness. God's grace is made known in our weaknesses. Boy, you know, sometimes the experiences when you go to a mission field, at times you are frightened, you wonder how you're going to make it, and at the end of the day, it is the Lord that triumphs in your life for the sake of the gospel. God make his grace known. The fourth cloud of witness that surrounds us is the promise of God who will perfect faith. I shared it in verse 39 and 40. There will be no more need for faith. It will be sight. We shall see him as he is. So this is our first heading. And God will help us, brethren. He will help us. There is a cloud of witnesses to help us in the race. And I didn't even mention others that are more recent. We read their books. We read their biographies. We read about Luther. We read about Spurgeon. We read about Ryle. We read about these men. Angela, I just give you a book. You and your husband sit down together with your daughter and read. Build a godly home. Our homes are heathen homes here. See, sometimes our people come in here. I pay special attention to them. The nails is as long as a what that bird name now? Eagle. Eagle nails with all kind of colors. Don't you laugh? I look at our daughters. Heathen homes. Well, Presley, you don't let your daughter come here with no bird claw fingernails. I wonder how they can do something, how they can wash, how they can clean themselves. Well, these are the things I need to talk about as I look and I see and I speak. Cloud of witnesses. I didn't see any of them with these things that I just shared with you. Weights are wrong to hinder. Second point. Weights are wrong that hinder. Let us lay aside the weights and sin that so easily beset us. Everybody has their own weights. But the weights you ought to carry is the cross. It is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a lightweight that Jesus called us to carry, because he is the one that is carrying the weight. Jesus has called us to carry that weight. And at the end of the day, he can say, "My yoke is easy." The weights that are hindering you and I from running the race are to be cast upon him, Brother Mason, Whatever weight you have, you cast it on Him day by day. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and He will lift you up. The problem with so many people is that they have too many weights in their lives. The weight of worry. Some of us keep our weights to ourselves and never ever seek for others to bear our burdens, as we're told in Galatians 6. It's what the church is for. We are private Christians. We are a little too private. Sometimes you see people, sometimes you don't, and you hear nothing. They're private. Now, if you're private, why do you want to be a church member? The church is not designed that way for isolated Christians. What are we reading? Weights. Keeping our weights to ourselves. We live under a cloud of witnesses, but many are surrounded by another cloud, a cloud of secrecy and deceit. That's a cloud too, but that's a wrong cloud. When the woman of Samaria became converted to Christ, she was surrounded by a cloud of secrecy. Jesus says, go and call your husband. She said, I ain't got no husband. You said correctly, because you had five. And the one you're living with now is not even your husband. The woman was blown away and she says, you know my business. The cloud was ripped away of secrecy. And some of us got a cloud of secrecy. And not looking at the cloud of witnesses. We're told that when she was exposed, that she left her water pot and went into the city. The water pot was a weight that would have hindered her from witnessing to the men in the city. She dropped it. She went empty-handed. Come see a man. Water pot symbolized what she was trusting in before she came to the Messiah. She probably was catching water in that bucket for that lazy man she was living with that probably wasn't working over there. She left the water pot. I guess he was there looking and waiting. She was doing the will of God because she dropped the weights. Went into the city. We are called to consider these things, brethren. Saw Abel, who submitted to the way of worship. He didn't have any weights. You know something? I never see those that running in the New York City marathon running with a backpack. Nathaniel, you ever seen them running with a backpack of books on their back? He said no, because it's going to weigh them down. And too many want to run the Christian race with a bag of cares and worries about this life. Take a lesson from the blessed Savior, who said on his sermon, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If worrying could extend a person's life, many of us would live to be 100 years old. But that ain't happening. You can die early just like me. Jesus says it's not going to extend your life, brethren. There are many weights to hinder us from running the race. Another weight that hinder is slothfulness. Slothfulness is just a lack of exercising faith. They tell me that part of an athlete's curriculum is exercise. Some of us doing a little bit too much. Diet is necessary, but diet without exercise leaves us bloated and out of shape. Diet, food without exercise leaves us with a big stomach. I walk 3 times a week around Marine Park. Even when it's cold, I walk. And there's a lot of company out there. Some of them get to know me now. This one guy that's called me pal. I don't know what gave him the right to call me pal. Tall guy, tall white guy. How you doing today, pal? But my point is, you should exercise. You should know the discipline of Christian exercise. Paul said to Timothy to reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, Miguel. Bodily exercise profits little. Little. It profits, yeah, but little when compared with spiritual exercise. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Yeah, physical exercise profits a little. It may keep you down for a little bit, it keeps the blood circulating. One is inclined to think that Timothy was an athlete, or he was engaged in some form of athleticism. It was during the Olympics time where the apostle used this image of bodily exercise to get a point home. And there's nothing wrong with using those images in your preaching when you're speaking to people. Nothing wrong. You make them understand the gospel better when you use these images in the things they're doing. And Paul says, Timothy, bodily exercise profit, but little. Don't focus too much on that. Exercise yourself to godliness. And sometimes our people are aging, and I wonder, how many of them are reading their Bibles? I bet they'd have gone on Eyewitness News. I bet they'd have gone on CNN. That's the first thing when you're walking. I don't watch those people. I'm not telling you what to do. But if you come to my house, and some of you have, you are going to bedroom to see TV when I go upstairs most of the time I'm sleeping. Or down in basement. That's where it belongs, down there. Let's be Christians, please, in this church. When was the last time you talked to someone about the Savior in a concerned way? When was the last time? It's exercise. When was the last time you called your children about godliness? That's why our church is the way it is. Can't fault the preacher. He tries his best. This is how we exercise. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the slothful person. Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. You know what this proverb is saying? It's describing those who are slothful. They're compared with a hunter who catches his prey and never prepares it for cooking. He caught this beautiful deer and he just lays back there and don't prepare it like Abraham's servants did. It is comparable to those who hear the word of God, who hears the word of God, who catches their prey and never assimilate and consider the word, never exercise what they hear. You're like that man. Proverbs compare that man to a man who hears the word of God, who claims to understand the word of God. And like James said, what a big deal. The deal. Never roasted. Proverbs are filled with that. There's an excellent in Proverbs that said in Proverbs 26, verse 13, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. Proverbs speak of those who dramatize the hindrances in their path. Oh my God, I can't. Slowfulness. Dramatize. A little petty thing. I stumped my toe. You know, all kinds of nonsense. And the one guy says, oh, I couldn't tell his boss, couldn't come work today. The dog ate my keys. Dramatizing. Excuses. There's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Meanwhile, it's a stray dog. Just dramatizing. Can't come because, and don't let little rain set up with some West Indians. Don't let the weatherman miss and say we haven't 3 inches of snow. Because we are already programmed. There's a lion on the streets. It is showing spiritual slothfulness when a person always finds a good reason not to exercise faith. So we have looked at two headings, brethren, many witnesses that help us in the race, and the weights and the sin that hinder us. Final head, the hope provided, verses 2 and 3 of Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down. I like this. It means that he has finished the work. Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. How can you look to someone who is out of sight? How can you and I do this? The passage supplies us with three ways we can look to him. And I will close with these three ways. One is endurance. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now this is about the same thing. The Lord Jesus was the first to inherit heaven. He was there before. But he had to come to earth to suffer for sinners, to go back there. One sin in listening to the devil would have disqualified him. You never see this. That's why he was perfect. He had to be perfect. For the joy that was set before him. Not only the joy of heaven, the joy of the elect becoming saved. James in the Epistle of Practical Religion says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now the word temptation is not a temptation to sin. It is the word test or trial. God doesn't tempt anybody to sin. And the Bible says that temptation is common to all men. God brings trials in our lives for us to look at ourselves. God doesn't have to prove anything to himself, but he brings trials in our lives to prove for us to see ourselves. Do you have a besetting sin that every time you seem to get over it, a week pass, and then boom, you fall again? You have that? Oh, all right to me. Maybe you have 6 besetting sins that whenever it comes your way, you may have a little victory sometimes. You're knocked down. You shouldn't give up. You shouldn't give up. It's a test. And you may have it 6, 7, 8 times a day. Maybe your temper. Maybe your appetite. Maybe your greed for food. You can't help. You got to go back to it. You got to go back to that fridge. You had 3 pieces of... We got that thing that juniors would sell, sister.
Cake.
Huh?
Cake.
What kind of cake?
Cheesecake.
Yeah, I know you guys know. Cheesecake. And by the way, I hate it. I don't like it. I don't know why. But you got to go back to it. Go back to it. And you're going back and you're putting on, you're stacking on the pounds. Stacking on the pounds. You're still going back. You need to lick that cheesecake. You need to lick it. Because James says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, when he is successful, he shall receive the crown of life. Temptation is coming. God brings them into our lives. James says, blessed is the one that comes out on the other end faithful. The crown of life is not some special reward. The crown of life is the proof of his salvation. Look to our example, endurance. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. I'm reading from verse 7. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? The verse says that if you are without chastisement, if we can live our lives and get away with different sins, that God doesn't seem to be dealing with us with in our sins, he says that we are bastards. We're not sons. We are bastards. We're not genuine. Verse 3 says, for consider him that endured his word again, such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. The next way we can look to Jesus is by assurance that he gives. We go back to verse 2 and part B. We are told that he, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When you are assured of something, you will tolerate anything. Many Christians are ashamed of the faith. A few taunts and a few pushing up of the nose, they're done. They're done. They can't tolerate. They don't want to be rejected. And I say this, when was the last time you had somebody a track out of your pocket? This, I was talking to you for 20 minutes. Can I leave you with this strap? Lynn, can I leave you with this? I find this was very interesting. Assurance. This is what we should do. Put a few tracks in your handbag. You got everything else in the bag. All these papers and all this lipstick and all this junk. Put 3 or 4 tracks. I had a fella at the Manhattan Baptist, Manhattan Bible Church, when I was going. We used to call him the track rack. But let me tell you, all of you should be track racks. We used to make Bob Kenzie, we used to make fun of him. Call him track rack. But he had the right approach. We're serious tonight, you know. We're serious. We are always serious, but I'm more serious tonight. When you are assured of something, it was sure. I can't understand how these people are assured of these magazines in front of the church standing up like this. I said, can you move over, man? You're blocking me from coming into church. Move over, go to the other end, go in front of the liquor store. When one is assured of their salvation, they will tolerate the animosity, the scorn that is far for the course. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Look to him. How can you look to someone who you can't see? Look at these things in the Word of God. Finally, how can we look to him for sustenance? Verses 4 and 5. You have not resisted unto blood, striving. You see this word striving? Agonizomai. Contend. Remember we shared this verb? Here it is again. Striving. Colin, you wasn't here. Against sin. That's what you got to agonize over. Striving. Battling. Going out today again. I'm battling. Fighting. Against my flesh. See? But you haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood. The Lord Jesus, in his striving against sin, was nailed to a cross. You haven't done that. Look to him for sustenance. Some people rely on a couple of pills. They faint. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. All. Sustenance. Some pop a pill to see them through suffering. Others use tobacco. Today now, they say that marijuana is legal. It has become an escape route. You hear how much money Brother Mason of marijuana was sold last day? Millions of dollars for a little bag. Not for one bag, but one. That's a serving. Well, little rich people will give me that money to go to Zimbabwe. Despise not the chastening, nor do not faint. Do not get tired, brethren, of the whatever chastening you're going through, brother. It's not going to be easy. But don't despise it. Maybe God will use it to bring you to that point that you would trust him. So this is our exhortation this evening, brethren. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Witnesses, a cloud of witnesses to help us run the race. Look at them. Weights around us that will hinder us. Look within us. The hope that the Savior has provided. Look to the Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless His word tonight. Let's pray. Amen. Our Father, we give you thanks for the reading, for the hearing, and for the preaching of your word. We love our people, O Lord, and we desire the best for our people. Lord, we are tired of being robbed by the smooth-talking preacher. We pray that you will open our eyes to the truth and that we will live the truth which will set us free. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.